Dimensions Volume 3 is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. David Lempel, in loving memory of Rebbetzin Leah Twersky and Rebbetzin Goldie Twersky, and in honor of Rabbi Shia, Rabbi Aaron, and Rabbi Michal Twersky.
Oh, share with you some thoughts, which I believe, in some measure, are relevant, or should be relevant, to any Ventura, simply to myself. In the best tradition of my forebears, well known as Eben Zishalat Kola, he used to come into a community, and he felt the need to leave some Yudei Chizuk, some Yudei Musa, that he would turn the drasha against himself. He would direct his remarks about his own character. Whatever it was that he needed others to hear, he would say to himself. With Reb Zisha, Zechusa Yad Malayno, it was a tactical move. With myself, I guarantee you that my days are relevant. We find ourselves today in a space which is a chelik of Torah that mandates a certain hisbayin. We have just concluded the Sefer Bereishis. We are about to begin the Sefer Shemayis. And in between these two svarim, in every Sifrei Torah, there are a number of blank lines. And we are told that it is not only the Yesh Chayra of Torah, it is not only the black fire, it is not only the letters of the Torah that require our attention and our scrutiny and our study, but it is also that Yesh Levona, that white fire, which the beginning of Sefer Vayikra Rashi tells us is there to leave a space between each paragraph, between each subject, so that Moshe would be able to be mizvaneh. We know that there is no such thing as coincidence, that the way in which time intersects with our lives is also an expression of Hashgacha Pratis. We find ourselves today in those spaces between the Sefer of the Ages and the Sefer of Shemot. We find ourselves tonight just having heard the words Chazak, Chazak, Mishazek, which continue to resound in our minds and in our ears and in our hearts, hopefully. And we know that soon, perhaps tomorrow morning, we will begin the Sefer Shemayis. Tonight we find ourselves in those spaces of Yisbayim. And I have to believe that the spaces of Yisbayim invite us to consider what happens when we find ourselves in a ghost. We just finished one chapter. The chapter, the Ramban says, the Sefer of the Nation is the Sefer of the Elders. We are now coming to the Sefer of the Bani. And we know that the Sefer Shemayis recounts for us how we slipped into a devastating bondage, into an avos. And how we came out of that avos became the Mekabli HaKvev. He slipped into that avos. As Rashi advises us at the beginning of this parsha, saying the Medrash, "Yuchmes Yankim Avinu, Yistachu Einayim Belivon Shel Yisrael, Yitzchak Hashemah." He began gradually to descend into the abyss of this heart. And we have imperceptibly slipped into our own oven. Perhaps one of the most disconcerting dimensions of living as we do with the freedoms and the liberties of America is that we don't recognize the extent of our shibud. That is the statu enenu, that our eyes in our hearts have become desensitized. We are told that while Israel resisted total assimilation because of a number of things, because they didn't change their names, very first opening message, they didn't change their name from Reuben to Robert and from Shimon to Sam. They descended Reuben and Shimon, the ones who merited, the ones who successfully resisted the assimilation, were the ones who carried on with Reuben and Shimon. They didn't change their mode of dress. And they didn't change their language. They came with the Lashon Kodesh. They left with the Lashon Kodesh. And so I think we need to ask ourselves, on those three aspects of our lives, our names, our dress, and our language, we need to help them in the love. Now, let's see, that's a silly question. It's cosmetic, whatever name we have, can be easily enough altered so that it conforms to what it was that we were given at our birth. Our dress is probably more complicated. And most certainly, our shkrab. The greater number of us are most comfortable in the vernacular, in English. But I have a feeling that while all of these, Shutot Kimashimon, Enmito Yetzvinei Shutot, are of signal importance, that we need to look beyond them. There's a Gemara Nehemiah. The Gemara Nehemiah tells us the Shleish Dvarim. That a person can be recognized, a person can be understood, if an individual wants to know what a person is all about, you should look at three facets of their life. The kisei, the kisei, and the kasei. See what a person is like when he gets angry. You see what a person is like when he becomes shika, when he becomes intoxicated, or perhaps by how much he allows himself to drink. And you see how someone conducts themselves with their money. What do they spend on? What causes do they expect? And so on. Once again, I would like to suggest that while these certainly have a meaning which is extremely useful at their face value, that we look beyond them a little bit. It seems to me that we can make a certain correspondence here, and that these two mamonim of our Chazal really dovetail, that they represent certain concepts which fit hand in hand. For example, the concept that we can tell someone by their kais, by their drink, by their cup, and the concept that we survive by the distinction of our Jewish name. A name represents an essence. When you speak someone's name, you make reference to what their lives are all about. It calls to mind an image. It represents to you something that that person lives for. What is the intoxication? From what cup, in the name, does the person drink? And certainly tells us a lot if a person is a workaholic, or if a person is a hedonist and spends their lives chasing pleasure. It tells us. But the reality is that in the best of circumstances, when we look into the cup, let's imagine for the moment that a person's intoxication, the central axis of his life, is his work. We ask ourselves a basic question about this person's work ethic. Does it take place with a sense of how Torah mandates one conduct themselves in the mind? Is there the integrity, the honesty? Is there a sense of fidelity to all of the laws of the Torah? Or better yet, let's imagine for a moment that we're talking about someone with Tehillah and Nosei. That's his case. His case is fit. What is the conduct of the individual whose life is saturated with faith? They tell a very interesting anecdote. In Montreal, there is a goyim by the name of Rabbi Hirschman. When Rabbi Hirschman was a young man, he was a Talmid in Yeshiva Sakhne Lublin. And in 1939, he was asked to go to America to raise money for the Yeshiva. Before he left Europe, he went to the Chaim Leizer to get a letter of approbation. When he came in, he was a young Hebrew, this young, brilliant, highly touted genius. He had to go to a suburb of Vilna. Chaim Leizer was very ill at the time. He came in, Chaim Leizer, Bilatari Bilrocha, responded warmly to his request, be given a letter that would be revered by Kleinsville. He was the Gadol HaDor at that time. He wrote the letter once, rewrote it a second time, rewrote it a third time until it made his satisfaction, and then the two of them began to speak in Torah. And a little crowd of people gathered about them to see the Gadol HaDor with this young genius and this young Eli. And they began in the manner of the Elohim to cite all kinds of passages in the Gemara and in all of the scholarly sources, until finally the Chaim Leizer quoted a Gemara in which he said it was in Yuma, except in Yuma Daf Mem Tes, to which the young Ivri, a virtual, responded. Now, the Gemara gets into Daf Mem Tes. Gently said, I believe that you're making a mistake. It's on Daf Mem Tes. And the Hirschman jumped up and said, I'll go bring it tomorrow. The Chaim Leizer was bedridden at the time. He was still convalescing. And he gently touched his arm and said, let's see, shit. He said it quietly. He said, why should you go and bring the Gemara to demonstrate that an old man's memory is failing? Let's let it rest. So they sat down. They finished the discussion. He left. And when he came to Estancia, he decided he was going to check it out. And he took out a gemara and he found out that Reb Chaim Leza was right. Reb Chaim Leza preferred to take the burden of the embarrassment upon himself rather than expose this young man before this modest little gathering of observers and spectators to the humiliation of having made a mistake. How easy it would have been, and which one of us in an instant such as that would have had the sensitivity, the presence of mind, the yashlus haseichel, the gefil, to do what the Chaim Leza did, even in the Beis HaMedrash, even in the midst of the things that we do as B'nai Torah, the teichacha that we give. Do we give it, do we offer it with that gentleness, with that sensitivity, with that kavod avrius, with that respect that we should have in the midst of kesef, wherever that may be, in our office, the housewife in her home with her children or her friends, whatever kesef represents, is a time that we must ask ourselves, do we conduct ourselves like Mitzrayim? Are we Americans? Or are we B'nai Torah? One can be a cobbler. One can be a craftsman. One can be a businessman. One can be a Kehil Yungaman. And they all require us, they all mandate that we ask ourselves the question at any given moment, am I a duplicitous person? Am I a person living a schizophrenic existence? Am I totally suffused with the Torah which makes up the essence of my life? That's the shame. That's the name. That's the curse. And then there is the kas. To me, kas represents what we do when we are at our worst. I can't speak about many other people, but I believe I know enough about anger to know that in anger and during rage and frustration, people's language changes. The Lashonah is different. We say things differently. If we want to know what our children are going to be saying, what they will allow themselves, what the range of their talk will be, mark what we do and what we say when we are angry. If we can offend, if we can be insulting, if we can take a low blow or a low shot at someone who is near and near to us, or conversely, someone who may have wronged us, and we let loose some malediction of whatever kind that we believe they deserve. In those unguarded moments, our children see us at our worst. And what we are at our worst is precisely how vulnerable we are to what is going on in the street. The Lashonah. The sensitivity of emotion, the reverence of emotion, whether or not we allow ourselves to indulge certain unpleasant terms. I see children who come from what I believe to be wonderful home. David Dikahaisi. And there are times that I am surprised that I discover that they say things which I cannot attribute to anything other than something that exploded at a weak moment in their own parents' home. Because they, if they would not have heard of this, they would not allow themselves to have a capability. And the Lashonim therefore comes to represent much more than what we say, but what we are like when we are frustrated, when we are tired, when we are angry, the attitude that we have, what we represent at our lowest moment, is one of those symptoms that will tell us not only what we are about, but what another person is about. It will also tell us how weak we are and how open we are. In a culture which surrounds us, a culture which leaves no survivor. And finally, there is Kisa, there is the pocket. And I want to do a little bit of violence to that. It's a prerogative of Aldash, and I will do some. I think that Kisa and his corresponding partner, the Malbush, that those represent the things that we believe we can get away with, the things that we cover up. The Neitayim, the kinds of individuals who live in the kind of society that we have, that allows for so many opportunities for us to have our eyes or our hearts straight. That bring us all kinds of interesting blemishes. There are unquestionably those amongst us who go to places that are questionable. There are those amongst us who are indiscreet with our eyes. There are those amongst us who are not careful about the things that we read. And we believe that we can do these things, or that we can conduct ourselves in certain situations in ways that will not be revealed or discovered. There is a malbush in each of our lives. We cover up part of our lives. Not everyone is going to find out everything about us. It's enough that we know. There is a kiss. There is a crust that we draw over. A curtain that veils part of our lives. And I must share with you candidly my conviction from many, many years of observing much human behavior that we can conceal nothing. We can do it as well. Our children know the truth. Because what we choose to hide, like the straw in the house, begins to creep up. In those very, barely perceptible ways, those nearest to us, those dearest to us, and even those who are not so close can tell what we are all about. And so if we wish to be able to survive, if we want to be able to be v'chamushim ol v'nei yisrael v'as Mitzrayim, then we should be amongst the remnant whom Mashiach will claim when he comes to take us out of this bitter gulf. Then we must be very careful that we also respect the power of those things over which we would like to draw a key. The malbush that will hide are naked. Some sefa is brought, typed by Yahweh Yankiv Sholem Yoshem. He says Sholem represents the Mechikuv. Shame, Lashayim, Malbush. And if we want to be able to stand up to America, then it is my personal observation, which I believe will be shared by the rest of those of you who care, that our Chazal, when they look at this pasuk, are trying to tell us a very simple, very basic, and very important truth. That if we choose to believe that we don't need to be a hadar, we don't need to be shlemi, you know, 99%, it's enough. I will be 99% of every left. I'm doing everything right. I'll allow myself a weakness. I don't need to struggle. I don't need to have a nesilas nefesh ad kidei kach that it should be shoved. The Chazal are telling us that if we want to be able to emerge from the jaws of an Esau and a Lavan and a Mitzrayim and an America with all these blessings, that we must strive for nothing less than Shalom. We must try, as impossible as that goal may seem to be consistent, to be able to be shlemi in the full gamut of everything that we have. Whether it's the Kaysay, or whether it's the Kaysay, or whether it's the Kaysay, we must appreciate the fact that we will only survive the pressures of our goals, of our shibud. We will only be able to rise above the nistatmoy neyem belibam. Our eyes will be opened, our hearts will be sensitized, only when we are prepared to work and to strive for that thing. We will be zecha quickly in our time to hear the Sefer of Mashiach call us all to Yerushalayim in our Kodesh, where we will be zecha, to be a state of tzedek, and there we are made of a man.